Have you ever thought about starting a business or if you could actually sell a product successfully? Well, in this podcast, Rochelle and I are breaking down how to start a business. Hey there, I'm Erica, and I'm the creator and host of the Next Stop Nonstop podcast, as well as an international purser and flight attendant. Welcome or welcome back to my channel, where I release a podcast episode just like this one every week, giving you insights about relationships, careers, wellness, and travel. We talk to experts as well as everyday people so that you can use our life lessons to enhance your lifestyle. Be sure to write a review wherever you're listening to or watching this episode because it helps us find and connect with more people just like you. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. All right, let's get into it. I am here with the beautiful Rochelle, and she is one of our business-owning baddies. All right, Rochelle, go ahead and introduce yourself to the Next Stop Nonstop family.
Hi, everyone. My name's Rochelle, like she mentioned. I am an owner of two businesses, Creative House Consulting and Desire Skin. I've been in marketing for about 7-ish years, and I've been in the product side for about 2.5, and I'm very excited to dive right in and talk a little bit more about my business and maybe some success stories, some failures, and all of that good stuff.
Wonderful. All right. Well, thank you very much. So let's go ahead and get started. So I know you mentioned you have two businesses. So can you explain to us what those businesses actually are and maybe a little bit more detail?
Yeah, for sure. So Creative House, I do consulting with small businesses typically, but I do also contract with mid-sized to larger companies as well, mostly on the project side of things. I would say my niche has been product-based businesses and construction industry, food, fashion typically. So it's really a variety of things. I've done social media in the past, but we've actually branched off more to just the strategic side of things. So anywhere from conceptual to helping them implement the idea, that's essentially what I do. But I do work with some really great people that still do social media. So if people kind of need that, and then that's also a thing. I also do design and branding. So if you are a startup business and you need help with this idea of how your business should look, but not sure where to get the resources or how to actually execute it, then I'm there to help out the process, essentially. So my second business is 2 years old. 2 years old, well, 2.5 right now. I actually started it when I had a skin disorder myself, and I went to, you know, went to the doctors for it, and the things that they were giving me just simply did not work. And I ended up going to a natural alternative, and it ended up working much better than anything the doctors gave me. And, you know, my family, you know, came to me and was like, yeah, like, you should have seen her skin. Like, you need to, you know, bottle this up and sell it and all of that stuff. So that's kind of how that came to be. But we've been working with consumers and then also working with like Airbnbs to provide toiletries and things like that.
Love it.
Yeah, we've also been dabbling in corporate gift boxing. So we're in the midst of a rebrand right now. But yeah, so that's essentially what it is. We sell candles, skincare, body care. We're trying to open up, we as in me and my sister, we're partners. We're trying to open that up to other avenues as well. But yeah, that's basically what it is.
I love that. Okay. So you were talking about with your beauty line that because you had a skin irritation or, you know, disorder is what you called it. Yes. That's why you started that business. But what inspired you to start your creative consulting?
You know what? I was working in finance, like I was working in compliance for a while. And it just was not what I wanted to do. And I was trying to find a way to kind of break out and do like something that's in my industry. And I had already gone to school for marketing. That was, you know, the career path, but I wasn't getting there fast enough.
Understood.
And I had some really good mentors. Like I had, you know, like senior VPs, executives and all of that. And I just decided, you know, let me try and see if I can get in by myself instead of going the corporate route. So initially I started with freelancing, and I guess it kind of snowballed because of the demand. And I started, you know, recruiting like people that I knew to help me with projects. And then it just became, oh, okay, maybe I should actually do some sort of consulting firm or something to that effect. So yeah, it just kind of came from that. I got some really good, even corporate gigs just from, which is interesting because people think that like you have to start the corporate side first and then get into that. But really, I started freelancing, got my name out there, got smaller things, did a little bit of pro bono stuff. And then eventually, you know, I had recruiters calling me like, hey, like, are you free to contract and do this? Right. So yeah. Yeah.
Basically. I love that. I love that. Okay. Yeah. So are these your first businesses, or were they any businesses you've had prior?
So it's funny because Dazar Skin was Dazar initially.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it still kind of is, but I sold like little bracelets and like it was accessories initially.
Yeah.
But I was doing a lot of drop shipping. And then I moved from drop shipping, and then I did like wholesaling. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I just don't feel authentic. Like I don't feel like it's like I can't brand it like it's my own, because I know like I'm not doing it from like start to finish, if that makes sense. And so I yearned for that creative, I guess the creative process of, you know, building your products. And then I was like, okay, you know what? And we were doing well, like we were selling out all the time.
Love that.
I just took a break and I was like, okay, I need to like actually refocus and like think about what I want to do. And I took a break for like 2 years and I'm like, oh, like, you know, I don't know what to do. And then, the whole thing, and mind you, during that time, I think maybe a year before I paused on that side of the business, I started my consulting. So I think also I was also focusing on that. And so I was like, okay, like I have time to like, you know, because I'm already doing that, so it's okay. And so I ended up, you know, taking a pause, and then the whole thing happened with like my skin disorder, and that was actually due to stress, because I
I was gonna say your body will let you know one way or the other.
So it was due to stress, and then I ended up saying, okay, let me reset again. And then where that business came in, as you know, that means. But
I love that. Okay. So let's actually turn it a little bit more to the logistics and maybe even marketing. I know you said that was your degree, right? Your major. Yeah. So let's actually go into that a little bit. Now, how did you initially find clients? Now, I know with your creative consulting, you said people started calling you, you had recruiters. Yeah. But when it comes to the beauty line, how did you do that?
So the beauty line is tricky because it's such a saturated market, especially now. And I find people had more success during COVID just because everyone was inside. Everyone was inside. Everyone kind of had, it's weird, they had more money. Like,
well, they weren't going out to spend it. Yeah. So I guess I can see that.
I mean, people weren't going out and spending as much. So by default, even though there were people that were laid off, people still had money, or maybe it was just boredom, right? Yeah. Like you're home. Okay. Let me, you know, shop online. So I feel like there was a lot more people online back then. So it was tough to start the business because we started it just after lockdown happened. So we found people through social media, and I hate saying social media because I feel like it's such a typical thing to say, oh, I found it. Social media is a thing, but we didn't do it in the conventional way. We did it in the salesy way. So yes, we did a few ads, but I feel like at the stage that we were in, especially at the beginning, ads just didn't make sense because no one knew us, right? So when you see an ad like unless you know the brand, like there has to be something very enticing. Mm-hmm. And we decided not to go that route. We did instead to the approach of dealing with business to business versus B2C originally. Mm-hmm. Still did because like I said, it was right after the lockdown. So events were starting to pop up and all of that stuff. So we were doing pop-up shops and stuff like that just to kind of get feelers out and understand our clients and all that stuff.
Okay.
But we ended up doing a lot of reach outs. We start with sampling as well, like free mm-hmm. samples. So we brought people in through there. We did do ads for the free samples because that we felt was worth at least building the email list.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Through the reach outs, the B2B reach outs, which is, I find was more responsive. Mm-hmm. We got people through there. So their clients became ours or their customers became ours. So there was that. Obviously friends, family, that's kind of how we started branching out. Mm-hmm. And then we started also going on different marketplaces. Mm, so okay. Like Etsy, which I'm not a fan of Etsy personally.
How so? Why not?
Etsy. Okay, so Etsy is not for the little people. Which I say this because I have two shops on Etsy, right? Mm-hmm. But Etsy gouges you with fees. So even though it's for the little people, it's not for the little people.
Yeah. Yeah. Understood. Yeah.
So obviously, because I've been on Etsy for a while, I know how to charge, but you're now overcharging your customer because mm-hmm. they have so much fees. So you have to then compensate, which I don't like. So most times I just try to redirect them to the website. Like,
yeah.
Just go on the website and, you know, purchase there. But yeah, we've been using Etsy just as a means of like lead generation. Pinterest has been a very big one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can see that with the beauty industry. Yeah, for sure.
I like that a lot more than Instagram or any other platforms because I feel like there's more likely to be converted, I think, mm-hmm. at least.
Is it? Maybe because of the creativity and the sense that you can get all of the images. I know Instagram has images, of course, right? It's videos and pictures. But yeah. With Pinterest, I feel like it's just the full aesthetic.
Yeah, right? I think that, yeah, there's definitely that part. But I also think Pinterest is a lot more crafty and mm-hmm. a lot more like community. I think also because it's connected to Google, it's easily searched.
Got it. Yep.
So, yeah, I think those are the reasons. So we did that. We also did influencer marketing, which definitely mm-hmm. helped as well. So that's kind of what we've done to kind of build on our clientele or our customer base. But yeah.
I like that. Yeah. So for the reach outs, now, how did you decide to target which companies? Because you were talking about going B2B. And for anybody who doesn't know what that means, it's mm-hmm. business to business. And B2C mm-hmm. would be business to customers or client, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you find the target audience? I know that you were saying they're businesses, but how did you go about finding them?
Overall, looking at your industry, it's always important to look at what's worked in the past, look at leadership polls. And I don't like to completely look at their marketing strategy and things like that, but looking at like Estee Lauder and all these companies that are they're more leaders than competitors. Mm-hmm. And looking at what they've done in the past and what type of collaborations they've done, I feel like is important. Before doing anything.
I love that.
Yeah. And then also understanding where you're at in your business mm-hmm. and what you could potentially deliver. And then it's always obviously good to look at, you know, where do you see your business? What does that look like in 5-10 years? Mm-hmm. And then what kind of values that you want to have instilled in your business? Because obviously that affects who you reach out to and the type of collaborations you accept, right? So yeah, those were the key things. And then, you know, doing our own market research. So, you know, who would actually like our product based on how it looks, based on the scents that we have, based on mm-hmm. you know, all these things. Are we going to make it more health related or is it a little bit more, you know, just simply wellness and it's not necessarily medical? Doing that research beforehand, understanding our target audience, doing a persona. And then we, based off our aesthetic, based off the things that we thought people would like, we reached out to certain individuals. So our products are typically, so we have a mid-tier and we have a higher tier. Mm-hmm. And we typically range between, you know, middle class to affluent crowd. So that's been our target audience throughout. Mm-hmm. And then also if you have sold things, just looking at who's gravitating to it and being in certain marketplaces, you get to see the types of people that actually gravitate to your products. And then you can also make that decision whether it is the right direction that you're going, mm-hmm. or if it's not, what needs to change and why. And if it's super profitable, maybe you don't even want to change it. But yeah, that's basically it.
I love that. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now that we found our clients or our customers, right? How do we retain customers?
Ooh, customer service. Customer service is so important. And that's how we started. And especially for a more affluent crowd, mm-hmm. They appreciate that over everything is how you make them feel. I think everyone really, but there's definitely a standard that you have to convey or bring mm-hmm. if you're dealing with, if you want to retain people. So for example, anything that's sold, you know, typically if you buy a product from Zara, or you buy from a certain retailer, for example, you may get an email saying, hey, thank you so much for your purchase or what have you, but it's an automatic message. It's not mm-hmm. anything. For us, we make sure that someone, like an actual person, is messaging you, hey, how are you? You know, how did you feel about the product? You know, it gives that like level, like a high touch level of service. And I feel like if you're thinking about retention, that's important. There's always touch points even after the mm-hmm. sales. So like, you know, maybe you have them on social media, or maybe you know, they're still receiving newsletters on a monthly or something to that effect where they don't forget about you. So yeah, that's essentially what we've been trying to do. Customer service, we're still in the midst of working that out. And of course, if your product is good, we do Q&A all the time. So, you know, making sure that your product is actually great, even like when they're purchasing, how did they feel about the product? How did they feel about everything? Like, you know, we offer samples also to boost other products, but
yeah,
you know, a nice incentive, a nice touch. And I feel like it incentivizes people to come back.
For
like,
sure. Hey,
you know, I got a free gift, like, you know, when I...
Like, ooh, I love this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're still in the midst of, like I said, improving all of that. But I mm-hmm. think retention is all feelings and how how they feel about your product and all of that good stuff. So, yeah,
I love it. I love that. Okay. So let's kind of take it to a next level in the sense of getting the business from an idea to reality, right? So somebody who's out there and they're like, I love how you're talking about this. Okay. Now I know how to find clients. Now I know how to keep them. Right.
Yeah.
But how do I actually get the business from my brain to reality?
It's easy to say, just do it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The first thing is to write down what it is, mm-hmm. where you want to go, and then what steps you think you'll need to do to get there. So like a work back plan, basically. So, okay, if this is the end point, mm-hmm. you know, what steps were needed to get to that endpoint, and then writing them down, and then, you know, slowly like going through each step and actually executing it. I mean, there's no rocket science to it. It's really just trial and error. And I think mm-hmm. people think too much about it and they don't do it. And I think it's because of, you know, fear of failure. And
absolutely,
I'm guilty of it so many times. I say, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to do this thing. And then 2 weeks pass. And then, you know, someone that I told that I was going to do the thing, they're like, so did you do it?
What's
like,
up with that thing? Yeah.
Like, where is it? Yeah. So at the end of the day, it's really, I think also like with that is having the right motivation, right mm-hmm. people around you to help you execute those things. But like the practical sense of it is literally just what is a thing, doing as much research, because research gives you confidence mm-hmm. and, you know, work back plan, you know, mm-hmm. if you want to be practical about it is creating a work back plan on what steps are needed to get to that final destination, and just executing, you know, giving yourself enough time to executing it. Understand that failure is a lesson and it's a success mm-hmm. at the end of it.
I love that. So when you're talking about research, right, and kind of figuring out the process, my first thought is to figure out who you would like to emulate, right? What company, mm-hmm. or if you have the similar products, mm-hmm. and then kind of go through and say, okay, so how do I get to that point? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, Target, right? So mm-hmm. how do I, as me, Erica, you know, take this idea of how I can get to be like Target, mm-hmm. and then kind of researching, okay, what steps do I need? Does Target, mm-hmm. you know, how do you franchise after all of this? Like, you know, just whatever yeah. it is, just sort of try to break it down. And I usually try to think about it step by step.
Yeah,
I'm a real simple kind of girl. I need you to give me some steps, right? So I'll yes. just go through and I'll say, okay, first step is this. Let me knock this out. Second step is this. Let me knock this out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what a work back plan really is, right? Yeah. Like, it's just step by step.
Yeah.
Get a business plan.
Yes.
Check mark.
100%.
That's yep. it. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
Really, it's those steps, right? You know, if you want to go into the practicality of things, like, there's so many resources online, just
100% simply. Small business association. Yeah.
And I will say, and I think a lot of people, especially that come into business that don't have a business or marketing background or anything like that, the first thing they say is, I'm not going to write a business plan because it doesn't make sense and it's too long. Or if they write it, like some people write it and they throw it down on the floor and that's it. But really, your business plan is your guide to your business.
Nice. So, yeah.
And it seems such a simple thing, like, oh yeah, obviously. No, mm-hmm. but I've spoken to so many people that I'm like, yeah, do you have a marketing plan? And they're shocked that I even asked them. Or I'm like, do you have a business plan? They're like, oh, kind of. And I'm like, no, you need, like, that's the thing. That is the thing that's gonna help you. Like, you know, so yeah, write down your business and not like theoretical things. And I think that's how people get tripped up. And that's why they don't think it's very practical. It was very theoretical. Oh, you know, in 1975, my product, something similar of my product came out. Like, no, just that's not what you need to have in there. It's literally like today's age, what's happening in the world? How is it going to affect your product? What mm-hmm. can you do to bypass that? And then write that into your steps. Like, hey, you know, COVID happened. What does that mean? I have to pivot. I need to go online. Like, you know, things like that. It really starts from that. Like, there's obviously the logistics things that I said, like the, you know, doing a business license and all that stuff, whatever. But like the actual thing is having a business plan or a marketing plan. It doesn't have to be 100 pages. It really doesn't. It could be 3 pages as long as it's like highlights what needs to happen. This is what, you know, what my product is. So when people ask you what your product is, you're not like, it's this, I think. Like, it's really just that. And literally everything is based off of that. So like your market research, your target audience, it, you know, how you write your social media posts is based on your target audience. How, you know what I mean? Like your industry analysis, every time you look for a customer, you're looking at what the industry standards are or who's doing something new in your industry or what you should add as a value proposition if it's not in your industry. Like there are things that, you know, is based on your business plan. So I think that's like, that's the key, your business plan and literally an action plan within that or your strategy within it. That's practical and just execute it literally. Yeah.
I love that. So when it comes to, I know you kind of tapped into it just for a moment, but like licenses, right? The first thing I hear of like, oh, I don't know if I need licenses or permits and things like that. Can you kind of talk about a little bit of that? Just kind of starting out.
You can get away with not having a business license. You can, but you can't expect people to take you seriously.
There you go.
I always say business plan, license, proper domain name, website. I have a domain name that's a Gmail, but I also have a business it's under the business name. So those things, when people see it, and especially on an online platform, they're looking for every reason why you might be a scam.
Yep.
So you want to make sure you cover every potential sales objection, and those are like very basic ones that you can just
knock off. Yeah.
So I always say, yes, those are the key things. Licensing, it depends. Like I do events, so there's certain licensing that you need to run certain events, depending on what you're gonna have there. And insurance is important, depending on what industry you're in. as well. So if you're doing consulting and if you're dealing with really big companies or even just mid-sized companies, and depending on what type of advice you're giving them, you may want to look at insurance too. Mm-hmm. Events, you definitely need insurance, at least for the day, which you can get day insurance. You also, if you're doing product-based business, you may want to get insurance because of that. Licensing-wise, if you're doing food, maybe you need like a food handling license, like those kind of things. Liquor, like same situation, right? But everything else, it really just depends on your industry, right? Like, you know, if you're doing construction or plumbing, obviously those things. I think like the more professional you get, the more licensing you need, obviously. A lawyer and all that stuff. But business license, I would recommend it. You could even start as a sole proprietorship, which is not great because the liability is on you at the end of it. But if you really just don't have the funds and you're just trying to start something, maybe a sole proprietorship, I would always recommend a corporation, or, you know, you could do other things, but I think corporation absorbs you of a little bit more liability than stuff. So, and yeah, it's like, I think in Canada, it's like $100 more or something to that effect.
Well, that's not bad, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's worth it for... versus potentially, you know, being sued because you don't, you know, you don't have certain licensing, or I think would outweigh the cost.
Now, I know you said you were getting started around the time of COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And you said you initially had mentors for your first business. Mm-hmm. So what other resources, whether it was like a small business association, your mentors, what resources did you have when you were starting your businesses?
There was a wave of gurus that came out during COVID, which I'm sure a lot of people know that. There was a wave. And there was actually some really decent ones. That weren't too bad. And oh my gosh, I used some of their courses. I also went through different online certificates. LinkedIn is a good resource. You know, it's not too bad as long as you can, well, now they're trying to put out a little bit more practical content, but back then it was a little bit more theoretical. So you really had to read between the lines. But yeah, I would say those things. There's workshops that even like these big companies like HubSpot and like Shopify, they would host. I would always be in one of those workshops. So yeah, I would say those have been the biggest thing. I obviously read blogs and articles as well, but those have been, I think, the biggest things for me.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even up to now, there's a lot more reason, even YouTube, you know, go on YouTube and learn everything, you know, so maybe like fact find, you know, when you do go on it. But yeah, those are really good spots to kind of hang out.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so let's say that you had to do this all over again, right? With the knowledge that you have now, but you had to start the business all over again. Would you do anything differently? And if so, what is it?
Oh my gosh.
I like that. Yeah. I like that reaction.
So much. First of all, okay, so for my consulting, I would have started with evergreens, or like they call them like passive income things initially, which I guess would kind of, so I also sell like templates like for passive income and things like that, right? And most times it's based on my process. Okay. But I also have like design templates and websites and all that stuff. So I think I would have started building that out from the start. And I think building a community was a very big thing now, especially, but I wish I had started doing that initially with the consulting. And then for the skincare, I don't think I would do anything differently with the skincare. I do think I could have done a lot more influencer marketing that I didn't do, and start with the branding. So we did branding, but it was more aesthetic branding. It wasn't like, you know, this is our business, this is, you know. And I do see that with a lot of small businesses, is they don't focus on branding first.
Got it.
And that's probably one of the biggest things. When people see you or, you know, notice your brand, you want to make sure that they always remember it, and that's branding, right? So I think that would be that. We did really brand our products initially, like not really brand, but brand it to how much we could have afforded at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't too bad, but definitely, which we're doing now is we're putting out like a brand story so that people can actually gravitate to what we do. Mm-hmm. And it adds a level of like differentiation. So I think I would have started with that initially and then incorporated that. I think at that point I would have done ads if it was just based on a brand story.
Got it. So yeah. Can you tell some of our listeners and viewers what a brand story is for someone who doesn't know?
Yeah, is your brand story is literally who you are, your brand, so your business, mm-hmm. where you started, where you want to go, why it means anything to you, why it should mean anything to them. Mm-hmm. And it's your founder story. It's the this ingredient started from here. And, you know, this is why we incorporate it. So mm-hmm. that's kind of like what you would include in your brand story.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about you specifically. So what have you learned about yourself since starting these businesses?
I would say resilience. There are some long nights as an entrepreneur. And I don't know if you've ever seen, but there's a snip of Rihanna. I mean, Rihanna, like, you know, she started out in music and, mm-hmm. you know, her propel to a billionaire may not seem like a big thing, but for a millionaire to get to a billionaire, it is huge. So I think there was an interview. It was just a quick thing. I think maybe on a red carpet or something. I don't know. Okay. And an interviewer was like, you know, so why, you know, so how do you feel about your businesses? And you know, she was like, yeah, you're so lucky to be, you know, where you are, all these things, like, essentially the preface of what they were saying. And she was like, yeah, you know, like you could tell, like she was just so tired in her eyes. And she was like, yeah, like, you know, I just got to wake up and do it. Like, you know, like that was her response, basically.
Yeah.
And I always think of that because I'm like, unless you're an entrepreneur or like you're in the space of trying to build your passion, mm-hmm. people won't understand, like, it's a lot of sacrifice.
Not luck.
A lot of time mm-hmm. and trying to hone into your craft and a lot of rejections mm-hmm. that you have to emotionally just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Put it aside. All right. You didn't want me. It's okay. Yeah. You know, there's so much like emotional turmoil that happens as an entrepreneur. Yeah. So I feel like, resilience. Definitely, because I did not think I could be battered and beautiful. They'll be like, hey, you know.
Got it. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I love that.
Yeah.
So, okay. You know what? I think this actually goes into my next question. What strengths have you developed since starting a business? So we got resilience. Are there any other strengths that you've developed?
Ooh, communication.
Love that.
Because how I grew up, I feel like wasn't very conducive for communication. I think as a, you know, I'm Jamaican. So I feel like a lot of, especially around my age, kind of understand, you know, you don't talk to your parents certain ways and so
speak when spoken to.
Exactly. So I only started flexing that skill or arm after I got into entrepreneurship because it really is about building relationships, and if you don't have it, you're not successful at all, which is sad to say, but that really is that you have to build relationships and communication. I did not realize it was such a big thing, which is, I guess, ignorant to say, but, you know, I just really did not know. Yeah, I would say my communication is better.
Okay, good, good.
It's getting there. Communication, I did not know I could put up a reel, these pictures. I would say, like, my photography skills a little bit better.
Yes. I feel like as a business owner, you actually have to step into a lot of those roles, right? Yeah. Especially in the beginning. It's one thing once you get to a certain level and you're like, okay, I can hire this out now. Like, I'm not the greatest, or I don't love to do this.
Yeah.
But in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's trial and error. You're like, okay, I'm not the greatest photographer, but you have to learn the lighting, right? You have to learn how to get a background. You have to make it look a certain way. The aesthetic we were talking about, especially when it comes to beauty and the beauty industry. I feel like that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
So I totally get that for sure. Yeah. Well, let's kind of dive into family and friends. I know initially you were talking about it, right? So in these businesses, you work with your sister. You guys are co-founders, right? But do you have any employees, or do you kind of just like grab some family and friends and say, hey, listen, I need you here. What's up, right?
You know what? So we have 4 people that work with us just on the key parts of the business. Okay. So one that does like customer service / like the sales. And then another person, she's more of an assistant. Okay. She kind of is an all-arounder. So she does a little bit of this and that. And then we have 2 designers. We had a content writer like once upon a time, but that ChatGPT, you know?
Baby. So that's a big, we're going to get to that in a second. Okay.
Yeah, so we have 2 designers. They're on call, so it works well. In the past, we've had people here and there, but the 3 consistent people have been our 1 designer, and he really just helps with if there is a promotional like pamphlet or something like that that needs to be done. Like I my background is in a bit of design as well, so you know, typically I guide that process as well. But if I'm busy with other things, normally he kind of comes on. But I would say him and our 2 assistants have been the most consistent throughout. And my assistant actually helps with our social media stuff.
Love it.
So yeah, and you know, and then obviously my sister, you know, she does most of the operation stuff. But sometimes, like I was in Jamaica for 2.5 months, so she had to take on some of my roles. And she's just calling me like, why are you leaving?
I'm gonna need you to come on back. Yeah.
Yes. And then for Creative House, we had 15 people that we were working with, contractors, and then we whittled that down a bit. So we do have the designers that kind of, they're multi-purpose, like between the 2 businesses.
Love it.
Because most of what I focus on is the consulting and then the branding stuff. That's what it is. And a social media manager that kind of hops in per project basis. But sometimes I do pull in family though. Sometimes I do. Like we had an event.
They're up for grabs. Let's go.
Yeah. We had a pop-up event and oh my gosh, if it was not for my family, like I don't even know like what would have happened. Yeah. But they came out and like it was just organization, you know?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. So and that was 20 vendors that we hosted just a local
Beautiful.
Setting up, organize everything, it was great.
Okay, so let's kind of go into that for just a second. I know you were just talking about some of the people you have on your team.
Yeah.
When is it time, in your opinion, to hire or to start contracting?
Hiring, I would say when your business is profitable. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense. Contracting, you can do that at any time as long as it makes sense for the vital parts of your business. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I like my background's in marketing, but I dabble in everything, like I do the marketing and I do like the, you know, our cash flow sheets and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But realistically, we had to hire an accountant, right? Yeah. To do the final stuff, right? Just because my knowledge kind of extended to just that, and that was it. You know, so I think if there are vital parts of your business that is missing to get you to the next step, I think it's important to hire contractors. When you're at a position where you're trying to, you know, you've reached that hump, right? So like you're a small business, you hired the contractor to get you to the hump. Mm-hmm. When you're at the hump and you're trying to grow it.
Yes.
Or scale it, at that point, I think you need to hire people because those people are more invested in your business at that point. Mm-hmm. And then you teach them about the culture and you know what I mean? Like they don't have 60 other clients that they're working with. And so they can help grow the business with you.
I love that.
Yeah. If you hire too early, then you may lose money, you know, and especially if you're starting up, you may not even have the money to hire anybody. So, and there's so much things that are involved in that. It's like taxing and like, you know, all these liability stuff that comes into hiring someone as part of your business. So you have to be ready for that before you, you know,
actually go up and jump into it. Yeah. So let's actually go back just a little bit. Now you mentioned ChatGPT.
Yeah.
So I want to know, because I mean, basically that's what you're hearing everywhere, right?
Yeah.
So for you specifically, how has ChatGPT started to help or benefit you and your business?
Oh my gosh. Product descriptions. We have a lot of products, okay? We have a lot of products. And sometimes it's just hard. And then if you're going to deal with I've dealt with like really decent like content writers that have been in like, you know, write for Medium, you know, like some big people, yeah. You know, so, but it gets expensive.
For sure. Yeah.
And especially for a small business, you have to look at the priorities. Okay. So what do I actually need? Okay. What can I you know, possibly throw together?
Yeah.
You know? And ChatGPT, I think, definitely bridged that gap, you know, where you really don't even have to think too much.
Mm-hmm. Just love that.
Enter in a query. That's it. Spits it out. You make it your own, you know, a little 1-2 words here and there.
Yep.
You definitely have to change it up, because I've heard there's a few plagiarism issues in the past. Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say pros and cons.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but outside of that, it's been lovely. I use it for our social media captions. Mm-hmm. I use it for that. I've used it for some parts of the website. I use it for, oh my gosh, blogs. But obviously with blogs, you kind of have to put your own thing so it doesn't look too robotic.
Yeah.
it's been great. It's been great. We use it pretty much everywhere. Like, mm-hmm. that we can.
Yeah. No, I love that. It saves time. It's helpful. It gives you something to just, that's yours, you know? Yes. So I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Now let's actually go into, I know you were initially talking about the failures and the beauties of business, right? So can you tell us what the most challenging time or moment has been for you with one of your businesses?
I would say, oh my gosh, actually I've hit challenges for both businesses. Mm-hmm. I think Creative House, the consulting business, the challenge was hiring, because when you start an agency, I feel like a lot of people don't tell you this, but when you start an agency, it's all people. Mm-hmm. So your money is people, your contracts are people,
yeah,
everything is people. So yeah. Because of that, hiring the right people is so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really big project and they just didn't deliver. I had contractors. They just didn't deliver. I ended up doing it myself. It was just a lot. And it definitely, that actually prompted me to niche down further so that I could properly manage things.
Okay.
So because we were a full service agency, that's why we had like 15 different people, and then we were working with like a white label agency as well to mm-hmm. kind of, you know, buffer whatever else that came in. Yeah, so I would say that was, you know, hiring the right people. And I think that also goes for overall small businesses, because mm-hmm. that could really make or break you, how much money you spend towards that. And then also your client or customer experience could be that could be detrimental. Mm-hmm. You hire the wrong people. So there's that. There's also so with my skincare, I would say finding a good chemist.
Okay.
Very hard.
Yeah.
And you need a chemist to scale if you're not already one, or, you know, it becomes very expensive if you aren't that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I would say that has been, because it was a lot of like all of our products, like we make it ourselves. We come up with the, you know, with everything, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, having to, yeah, go through trial and error. Okay. You know, this, why didn't the moisturizer work? Didn't work because the temperature was off, you know, just by like a smidge.
Yeah.
But that was enough to change the color. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I would say that was a very tough time, because you had to spend money that we anticipated that we were going to spend money with the products, but mm-hmm. we didn't anticipate that much money, because we just the knowledge was not there.
Yeah.
We had to go do courses and we had to, you know, do all these things and talk to, you know, actual chemists and, you know, bounce ideas and bounce ideas with other business owners that are in the industry and things like that. So, yeah, I would say those have been the failures or like the
challenging moments there.
Challenging moments, yeah.
For exactly. sure. Yeah. Well, I do love actually the last part that you did say, investing in courses, whether it be classes or just learning about the business that you're in, right? Yeah. So with all these, the trial and error that we were talking about, you tend to learn something. You're like, okay, so that didn't work. Now let me figure out what I can do next time, right? Whether it be the mentors or taking classes. I think that's fantastic. And that's going to lead me into one of my last questions for you.
Yeah.
What has been the most memorable moment or time as a business owner so far?
Memorable moment. I guess I have two. The first one was I was on the cusp of getting a contract with one of, I won't say who it is, but one of Starbucks's supplier.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. The other one was with, so the skincare, was getting, so they're really big subscription box, a vegan subscription box, was their head of procurement saying our product is really great and we want you in our box essentially.
I would say
those have been the highlights because it's validating, right? You're doing 100%. Something right. You're, you know, you're almost there. So I would say that. Yeah.
Yeah. It builds the confidence and it keeps you going. Cause it, I feel like that revives everything. Cause as hard as it is to be an entrepreneur, right. And you were talking about the rejection and the difficult moments. You're like, oh my God, I'm like, I just want a break. Just give me something. Yeah. And then you get that moment where you're like, actually I am a baddie, right? I'm a business owning baddie for real. Right. I love that. I love that so much. I want to thank you so much for being on the podcast. And before you go, what I want to do first is tell what advice would you have for anybody out there who wants to start a business but might be a little hesitant or someone who's just getting started and they're like, I'm kind of clueless, but I'm out here. Any advice for them?
I would say do your research. Like actually do your research. Use that research.
Yes. If you're going to do it, use it, right?
Yeah. Use it. Have people that inspire you and motivate you around you.
I love that.
Because that can be very difficult. It's like I said, it's very difficult. And when you don't have that, it's easier to quit. And I would also say, adapt to the situation, adapt to, you know, the space you're in, which I think a lot of, like I mentioned before, a lot of people during COVID realized that they have to adapt. And I think that is such an important thing for business and a business to grow because every generation is different. And when you cycle through a generation, their wants, their needs are going to be different. So you have to make sure that if you want a long lasting business, you have to recognize that and actually, you know, implement strategies to change because you need to change always and be willing to do it. So say that.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on the Next Stop Nonstop podcast. Mm-hmm. So for anybody who wants to reach out to you or just maybe buy some of the products because they've heard about you on the Next Stop Nonstop podcast, where can they find you and your businesses?
Yeah. You can find us at Dsar Skin. So Dsar Skin. And you can find us on Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, or you can go on the website. So it's www.dsarskin.com. So it's DSARSKIN.com. And feel free to, if you do shop with us, you can use our promo code, which is NEXT10.
Love it. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here. And I know they've learned something because I sure have.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. If you have any questions or you want to leave me a voicemail, you can go to anchor.fm/nextstopnonstop/message. I'll also add that link in the description. If you're still rocking with me and you're not already subscribed to the Next Stop Nonstop podcast, what are you waiting for? Don't be shy. Poke that subscribe button so that you don't miss the next episode. Thank you so much for spending some time with me. I really, really appreciate it. So Until we meet again, I want to wish you healthy minds and happy travels.